guys out there in the third dimension with your smart devices, you can really exercise your thumbs on this show. Hello, I'm Gary, and this is my wife, Gloria.
Hi, everybody.
And we're Grace Faith Christian Discipleship, and this is the GFCD Q&A Bible study. And tonight we'll be doing a study in the book of Hebrews. We're in Hebrews chapter 4 at verse 4.
So thank you, everybody, for joining us. Okay. Well, Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for the technology that you have made available for us to be able to reach people around the world and to connect with like-minded believers and people who just love Jesus and people who want to know the truth of the word. So we thank you for this Bible study, Lord. Father God, we thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit that helps us to understand the word as we read. Know that this word goes out into the world and reaches those people who are hungry for it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. So we've still got some people jumping in, have we?
Pastor Gary Moran is joining us.
All right. Well, we like to take communion. So if you haven't got those elements, something to represent the body of Jesus with a cracker or a piece of bread, and something to represent his blood through some juice or something that you want to use to represent that, go up and get it and come back and join us either now or even in the future. If you're watching us sometime later on, you can still join us for communion. We'd love you to do that. And tonight my short message is on something that Gary and I read during the week. We've been reading through the book of Luke, and there was just something that jumped out at me, or both of us actually, but it really moved my heart, where it actually brought tears to my eyes. And I know I've read this so many times before, and I know everybody else has probably read this before, but for some reason it just really jumped out at me. And it's in Luke 23, verses 39 through to 43. And it's about Jesus when he was on the cross and the two criminals that were hanging on either side of him on their own crosses. It says here, "Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him," blasphemed Jesus, "saying, 'If you are the Christ, save yourself and us.'" So he didn't really believe who he was. But all he wanted to do was be saved. "But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation?'" So obviously right there, that man had a fear of God. "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." So already this man was repentant. "Then he said to Jesus, 'Lord,'" here he is, he's calling out and calling Jesus Lord. Isn't that what we're asked to do when we become born again, is to call him Lord? "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." So even though Jesus was hanging there and death was going to be certain, he knew that he was going to be going to a kingdom, that there would be life after death. "And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" So even in his last moment, Jesus was compassionate towards that criminal, the man that confessed Jesus as Lord and that believed he would live again. How wonderful. Jesus was so compassionate. So as we take that bread, we remember him. We remember the Lord Jesus, who took the stripes upon his body for our healing. We thank you, Jesus. And I read here from 1 Corinthians, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So Jesus, we remember you at this time and we thank you and praise you. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Thank you, Jesus, for the sacrifice you made for all mankind. Praise your holy name. Thank you for your precious blood. Thank you, Jesus, that you are alive. You are risen from the grave. You are the Lord of all, the one, true, and only God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Gloria, again, for leading us through communion. Well, tonight we're doing a Bible study. Well, it's night time here on the east coast of Australia. We are in the book of Hebrews, and we're in chapter 4, and we're going to verse 4, and I will ask Gloria to read verse 4.
And while you're going to find the Takata Bible, I just want to say hello to Brenda, who's watching on tonight from North Carolina. Hi, Brenda. And also Susan, who's watching from the UK. So hi to you too, Susan.
Oh, Susan must be up late. In the wee hours in the morning, Susan.
No, this is the UK one.
Oh, this is the UK one. I'm getting things all mixed up. Okay, all good. Let's
Wendy.
Let's share screen. And when we come to comments, we'll go to Lindy first, and then we'll go to Patrick. Mm-hmm. Then we'll go to Gary, and we'll come to John last. Okay. So that's the order of things. So I'll share screen first.
Hello to Kathleen and Keith, if you're watching on tonight. And a happy birthday to Kathleen from all of us here at GFCD.
Yeah. Okay. It's my son's birthday today too. Happy birthday, Danny. Okay, Gloria, I just would like you to read verse 4 only, please.
Okay.
But actually, I'll get the ministers to comment only on verse 4, but if you could read it into context, you may as well read from the top of the chapter and stop when you finish verse 4.
Yes. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, "So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest," although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place on the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works.
Okay, so we'll stop screen share and we're over to Pastor Lindy Sweet.
Lindy, and I'm here in Brisbane in Australia. You know, in God's eyes, everything's already been done. It was completed from the foundation of the world when he put the whole plan of redemption into place. And, you know, our faith rests purely and simply on the word of God, on God's integrity and his word. So we need to make a decision whether we're actually going to believe God and his word or not. Faith's a decision to believe God and act on what he said. And sometimes that action is resting. And I found that in my own life, you know, I really believe the Lord spoke to me some time ago that faith is a belief that causes you to act. But sometimes that action is to rest. And that's not always easy for us. We always want to do things. We're trying to make things happen. But God didn't do that. In his eyes, everything was done and dusted. And he's resting. And he wants us to believe his word. And he wants us to rest as well. Thanks, Gary.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Lindy. Yeah, it says, "For he spoke in a certain place That's referring to Genesis 2:2. Over there in Genesis 2:2, it says, "And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made." Why did he rest? Because it was totally complete, not because he was worn out or tired. Yeah. Over to you, Patrick, and you'll have to unmute yourself, please.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Gary and Pastor Linda Street. What I pick from this scripture is it stems from Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, of God having taken the Sabbath, having created everything, and then on the Sabbath, God rested. And I think this scripture is a primary scripture of the New Testament rest that we have in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
But when Christ created everything, he rested. And so it is also a reflection of the rest we need to take in Christ. The rest we need to take in Christ and having the assurance that he created everything and he rested. And so having created everything and he rested, we need to also take rest in Christ. And the rest in Christ is more telling us to cast everything unto him, for he's already casting everything to him for the already finished works that Christ has done on our behalf. And the rest in this line I'm talking of, the healing that we have in Christ, the resources and the abundance of the many, many things that Christ has already established, and him giving us the assurance that take rest in me. And whilst I was reading this, it reminded me of Matthew, where he says, "Come ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. For my yoke is light." Yes, my yoke is light. It's Matthew 11:28, that "Come to me, all ye that are heavy and heavy laden, all that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me." So this scripture is a primary reflection of the rest we need to take in Christ, of his already finished works. That's what I can say for now. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks, Patrick. Over to you, Gary.
Yeah, thank you, Gary. I'm Gary Moroney. I'm from Ipswich in Queensland, not too far away from Gary and Gloria. I see always when I read Hebrews, I just see that there's this enormous emphasis on the covenants and the new covenant in particular, because, see, I see there's this rest that we abide in, which has been achieved through the new covenant. Because remember, under the old covenant, you had to do works, because you had to, if you did work, you were blessed. If you didn't do work the right way, you were cursed. Under the new covenant, God said he was going to do everything. And so I see that this rest that we enter into is all because of the new covenant that the Lord has established through Jesus for us. And so it's not that we abuse grace, but we use grace to walk in that truth and that light and to love our Father in heaven. And I just see that this the rest is so blissful, because I don't know how to explain it, in that when you're at rest, you shouldn't be in fear or panic or striving or anything like that. You're content that it's been done, it's finished. Back to you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. Over to you, John, and you'll have to unmute, please.
Thank you, Gary. Yeah, John Tripp. I live in the state of North Carolina, which is on the left, which is on the east coast of the U.S. and in the southeastern part of the United States. North Carolina is a fur piece from Australia, and the rest for some of the rest of the people are. But thank you this morning, Gary. Yeah, that rest is, it's really like Gary said, it's a picture of the New Testament. and really what it is, you know, and it in that rest, it's provided salvation and prosperity and deliverance and those things that we that's already been done for us. So thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, John. Okay, let's read verse 5, and then we'll go around to the ministers again. So I'm going to share screen. We'll go to verse 5. Just the one verse, please, Gloria.
Mm-hmm. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest.
Okay, so it might seem a little strange that I just single out such a short verse, but I'm doing that to make a point. So maybe I should go first. I'll just jump ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to read, it kind of fits in with what Gary Moroney said. If they shall enter in, if they shall enter in, this is directly applicable to us. And as I say just about every week in this Bible study, I'm trying to draw out of these, what we're reading here in Hebrews, what is applicable to me personally, you know. And this is directly applicable to us in the age of grace. The unbelief that will keep us from entering into his rest. If you remember when we were looking at Hebrews chapter 3, it was all about believing and being in unbelief. It was unbelief that stopped the children of Israel from entering into the promised land. It says it was because of unbelief. Now, the unbelief that will keep us from entering into his rest is the unbelief of works, which is basically what Gary Moroney said. It's the unbelief of works, whether they be works of the flesh, which applies to Gentiles, or works of the law, which applies to people who are under the law of Moses. The rest that we are to work to enter into is the rest that is in the finished work of Jesus, which is the point that Patrick was making. God rested on the seventh day because his work of creation was finished. We rest in the dispensation. Dispensation is the age of grace. That's the dispensation that we're in. We rest in this dispensation, the age of grace, because the law has been fulfilled by Jesus. And as Gary Moroney pointed out, this is all about covenants. You know, the unbelief is to operate in the old covenant. That's basically the unbelief that we're talking about here. Sorry, there's a bit of a glitch here with, I didn't copy it that way. We might leave it at that. I think I've made my point there. Mm-hmm. We'll go firstly to Lindy for comments, please.
Stop sharing. Mm-hmm. I was actually hoping you'd read verse 6.
I don't have a lot to say, Gary.
You pretty well covered it. So verse 5, and again in this, the word place is added, and again in this, they shall not enter my rest. So, you know, God's saying that they won't enter their rest because of the way that they've been living their lives, which is in unbelief. And verse 6 goes on to call unbelief disobedience.
Mm.
So really, you know, we're talking about, I know you've been talking about the law and about works, but if we simplify that into our day-to-day life, it's really trying to do things in our own strength.
Yes.
You know, and if we try and do things in our own strength, we're not going to be in rest. We're going to be pushing, and we're going to be trying to open doors, and we're going to be trying to make things happen, and we're going to get tired, we're going to get worn out, we're going to get frustrated because we're not doing it in God's strength. We're not doing it, as Gary said, in the, Gary Moroney, as in the covenant, through our covenant rights and privileges, through the promises of God, through walking in the Word of God, believing the Word of God, and resting in the Word of God. It's simple. We can't, you know, if we just realize God's smarter than us, we can't do it. We can't do anything without him. And if we put our trust and reliance on him, and I go back again to the integrity of God and the integrity of his word, that we can trust in the promises of God, then we're going to just trust him. When things are tough, instead of falling in a heap and worrying about it and getting all stressed and trying to make things happen, we're just going to say, Lord, I trust you. I know this is all going to work out. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I believe you're going to do it. Mm. And that's Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath.
Yes.
He's the Lord of rest.
Mm.
And he is our rest.
Mm.
But we just rest in him. Thanks, Gary.
Amen. Yeah, thanks, Lindy. Over to you, Patrick, and you'll have to unmute.
Thank you. I would just also want to add on slightly to what Lindy has said, and you, Gary. One of the key things is the dispensation of grace. In knowing the dispensation of grace, it also takes us to knowing that God, Jesus Christ, has freely given us his grace. And when he freely gives us his grace, then we take rest in the grace of his finished works, as briefly as I've mentioned. Now, unfortunately, when we are overshadowed with the troubles of this world, we are led to think that we can accomplish things in our own. But ultimately, what grace provides is us to rest in the already finished works.
Mm-hmm.
Now, contrary to that is that because we are fighting over what the world says and what the dispensation of grace has to say, we end up wanting to do things in our own strength. We end up forgetting what the promises of God that are yes and amen are to us. And now when you forget what the promises are, and these promises have the rest, and the rest comes in the assured works, having the knowledge of the assurance that in Christ, everything has already been done, or everything has already been purchased for us. Mm-hmm. Now, once you do not have that, once you cease to take on that, once your heart is in conflict with having the reality of the already finished works, then what comes is you do not have rest. What comes is that you're striving to do things in your own works, and ceasing to know and understand the finished works and the rest that we have as a result of what Christ promised us. I mean, him having taken rest on the Sabbath, as I've earlier on said, is just a picture of the New Testament rest, of us resting in him. Mm. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, good. Patrick. Over to you, Gary. Unmute, please.
Yep, we're back. Yeah, love what Lindy was talking about, and Patrick too. Thank you, Patrick. This, when you spoke then just for a moment there, I just saw that when we hit that point where we don't see the manifestation of the things that we want, all of a sudden we're moved out of rest. And because we're failing to witness what the Word of God says outwardly, so we tend, and I say we tend to move into a panic because we didn't see that. And so we move out of rest immediately. And this is where I believe we learn to strive to enter into that rest. Sorry, we've already entered into the rest. It's to get back there in our thoughts, in our hearts, in our outlook, because what the enemy's tried to do is move us away from the reality of a rest is eternal.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. I'm not sure if I got this verse right, but as you were speaking there, when you've done all to stand.
Mm.
You know? In other words, what it's saying, when you don't see the manifestation, don't stop.
Don't panic.
Don't panic. Yeah. Over to you, John.
Yeah. Thank you, Gary. When we try to do things in our own strength, and I mean, we just become frustrated. I mean, I know it's happened to me, and I'm sure it's happened to everybody else. And really, all we have to do is just enter that simple faith. It's his faith that we enter into and receive in our lives. And it says the righteous, that's us, shall live by out of his faith. So that's what it means. We get to enter that rest that he's provided for us. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, John. And I have to thank all the ministers for being so on target, because we're doing well with time. We've got a third round in. So I'm going to share a screen again.
Lots of positive comments from those people who are watching, which is wonderful. Yes. Somebody said, amen, Lindy. So they were very impressed with your comments. And someone else is saying, great word today.
Oh, so that's good.
Sometimes we don't see who those people are. It just comes up as Facebook user. But thank you for joining us and listening in.
Okay, I might read this one. And I'll go into my comment first before we go across to Lindy. It's only short. That's why I'm not
We've done five, but you didn't.
I've done five. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll read 6 and 7.
Okay.
Oh, Gloria, you'll have to read these. It's too long for me.
All right. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.
Okay.
Don't we just stop there? All right.
Yeah, I was just wondering whether we should go on to 8, but let's leave it there. I'm just going to have a look at my comment, my notes here. Okay. Andrew Womack's Living Commentary says, David's statement about entering into the rest of the Lord, that's Psalms 95, verses 7 to 11, was made over 400 years after the children of Israel had occupied the promised land. Right? Therefore, the occupation of Canaan could not have been the fulfillment of entering into the Lord's rest. That's what we've just been reading about. That was and is only fulfilled as we enter, as we rest in what the Lord Jesus has accomplished for us through his atonement, which is basically what John was saying earlier, I think, in his first comment. Okay, now just before I read on, can we go back and just, I just want to, before I go into my commentary there, can we just read those verses again?
Six and seven?
Yeah.
Okay. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it.
Yeah, see, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about, since therefore it still remains that some must enter into the rest, and those whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. That's the unbelief that he was really emphasizing over in chapter 3. Keep going, Gloria.
Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.
Yeah, okay. I kind of wish I'd included verse 8, but anyway, I haven't. So,
do you want me to read it?
No. Mm-hmm. We'll let people make their comment, and we'll do that one next week. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is I'll call it GFCD's Living Commentary. The entering into the rest of the Lord, that's Psalm 95, 7 to 11, only became available to believers in the age of grace. The work we must do to enter into his rest is to believe. I believe, and therefore I spoke. And it says that in 2 Corinthians 4:13. And again, this is made a mishmash here. That's a double up. I didn't copy it that way, but something's going on in the Takata app. Therefore the bomb is saying could not have happened. I think that's just a repeat of what Andrew had said. So that's basically it. Over to you, please, Lindy.
Thanks, Gary. So in verse 6, since therefore it remains that some, I'm always interested in when there's italics, because italics are added by the translators.
Yeah, that's right.
If you take that out, it says, since therefore it remains that some enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. If you read it that way, there are people entering. There are people entering into God's rest today. It's possible for us to do that. When you're relating back to the Old Testament, they didn't enter it, and it relates this unbelief to disobedience, which I mentioned before. If you go to Romans 4, verse 21, it talks about Abraham, and it says, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. You know, God has spoken in some of these verses saying that they will not enter his rest, and the reason they won't enter is because of unbelief, which is disobedience, and God calls it here unrighteousness, because he said that when Abraham was fully persuaded or fully convinced, it was accounted to him for righteousness. So when faith is basically a decision where we're deciding whether we believe the word of God and act on it or we don't.
Mm.
If we do decide to believe the word of God, then that is accounted unto us for righteousness. Mm. And it says here in verse 23, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. So it applies to us today. When we hear about Abraham and about his faith, the same thing applies to us, that we have to be fully persuaded. And to do that, we have to be very careful that we don't harden our hearts against the word of God. We need to guard our hearts and guard our minds, because there's so many things in the world today that will try and distract us, divert us, take us away from the word of God. It was interesting. My mother gave me a couple of magazines, and I never read magazines, but I thought, this afternoon I flipped through it, and there was something in there about hypochondriacs. And they were having advice for people who were hypochondriacs, who were thinking that they were sick all the time. And that one of the first things that they said to them was to not watch the news and not to Google their sicknesses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as Christians, we already know that, don't we? We have to guard our hearts, and we have to guard our minds, and we keep our focus on the word of God. That's where, how we diligently enter the rest of God. We diligently enter by guarding our hearts and guarding our minds and taking God at his word and believing that word of God. An example that I can think of in my own life is when my husband went to heaven 8 months ago. And there's a connotation in the church, and many people believe that when somebody who's near and dear to you passes away, that you have to grieve. But the word of God said that Jesus bore our griefs and sorrows. So hearing that word of God, I made a decision that I would believe God, I would believe his word, and I would stand on that word, and I would not have any grief or sorrow, and I haven't had it. And I believe that's pleasing unto God, and I know my husband would have been pleased, because he wanted me to walk by faith and not by sight. So that's just a simple example in our day-to-day life, because often we can look at things in the Old Testament and we can see how they live, but then we need to bring them into the new. We need to bring them into our lives today. How are we going to apply this to our life today? How are we going to enter the rest of today? For me, entering rest is to just enjoy my life and trust God that his will is coming to pass in my life. The plans and purposes he has for me are all coming to fruition, and I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to try and make it happen. I know I'm called to ministry, but I don't have to open doors. I don't have to knock on doors. I don't have to struggle. I don't have to strive. I just believe that it's happening and God does it. And that is the rest of God. Amen. Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, Lindy. Excellent. Over to you, Patrick, and you'll have to unmute, please.
Thank you very much. In the first place, whilst I was thinking of having rest, it also takes me back to James chapter 1, verse 22, of us being doers of the word and not just hearers. I think rest in itself is more doing as opposed to hearing. And it also reflects me on the children of Israel, that because of their disobedience in not hearing, then their journey to the promised land took a while. Their journey to the promised land took ages because they did not believe. And so because they did not believe, then it also meant that they did not have the rest that they needed, but also their fulfillment, as you've just shared Andrew's commentary on this specific scripture of verse 4. I mean, the fulfillment of their rest in the promised land was not rest in itself. I think the rest was having the assurance that it's fulfilled through Christ's accomplished atonement. So that's what, to me, I would consider the moment or take on, that when we are doers, when we are not only hearers of the word and doers of the word, then we are fulfilling what Christ wants of us. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Patrick. Over to you, Gary.
Yes, it's interesting that you talked about the word believe. And as soon as you mentioned that, the thing that jumped into my mind was a couple of verses from John chapter 6. And the situation was that Jesus had performed the miracle of the loaves and the fishes, and then he'd took ship and people followed him. They're asking him, how did he get here and all that sort of thing. So if you go down to John chapter 6 and you have a quick look in there, And he talks in there in around verse 27 about labor not for the meat which perishes. But then the interesting thing was in chapter 6, verse 28, they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? So because we talk about works and rest and things like that. Immediately Jesus answered and he said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent.
Wow.
Simple as that.
Fits in so well with rest.
Yep. And that was the word that Jesus gave specifically, that this is the works, to believe on him.
Mm.
Back here, Gaza.
Mm. Yeah, thanks, Gary. Over to you, John, please, and you'll have to unmute.
Yeah, Gary, you know, this thing, I mean, I think Lindy just really spelled it out what it's all about. I mean, being obedient is the highest form of worship that we can give Christ. You know, there's a great picture in Mark 11 when Jesus said, after they fed the 5,000, it was Mark 11, but anyway, He told them to go to the other side. In other words, he gave them directions that, you know, we're going to the other side. And what did they do? They got in the boat. Storm came up. That's what immediately happens. Something, we get that direction, and it comes against us. And they worked all night rowing that boat, trying to get across the lake. And what did he say? You know, you become hard-hearted, you know, hard-headed is another word. We say that, but all we have to do is believe. All we have to do is be obedient, you know, to believe on what they just seen the miracles, and now the storm, you know. So God has a destiny for us, and so we just gotta go do it, you know. Like I said, it's finished, or basically what Jesus said on the cross, mission accomplished. So thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, John. And thanks to all the ministers on the screen tonight. They've all been fabulous. You know, I'm speaking to the people out there in the third dimension now. You've been hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation, unto salvation. You know, today we're so focused on worldly things. We want to have, you know, a roof over our head and all the other stuff. But you know what is the most important thing is to have your spiritual house in order.
Mm.
To have your spiritual house in order. Because we, you know, some people say that these are the last days. Well, for some people, they are the last days. For me, I'm planning on living to 100 plus, so for me, they're not my last days. But you never really know when your last day is. I put it I'll put a question to you. If tonight was your last night, do you know with all certainty that you'd go to heaven? If you don't know, you know, I'm not asking you to give me an answer. I'm asking you to answer that for yourself. If your answer to yourself was, I'm not sure, or I sure hope so, then let's make certain. Because the Bible says, I've got it open here, and I'm going to read from verse 8 in Romans chapter 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach, and we've been preaching the word of faith tonight. All the ministers on this screen have been preaching the word of faith to you, whether you know it or not. And it says in verse 9, and this was a verse that really changed my life, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that fits into the communion message that Jesus brought tonight. You know, the thief on the cross called Jesus Lord. That's all you have to do, is to call Jesus Lord. The thief on the cross believed in his heart that God the Father was going to raise Jesus from the dead. That's all that you have to do. There's only two requirements to obtain salvation, and that's them. Verse 10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I invite you right now to join me in this prayer. I've heard about Jesus. I've heard the good news. God, I call out to you. I thank you that you sent Jesus to pay the price for my sin. I accept Jesus as my Lord. I call Jesus my Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. I thank you, God, that I can now call you my Heavenly Father. And thank you, Jesus, that I can now call you my Lord and Savior. I thank you that I am now born again. Amen. If you said that prayer for the first time tonight, then send us an email to gfcd.sozo@gmail.com, and we'll put you in touch with a minister in your local area, because the Bible says that we are to make disciples of all the nations, not just converts. That means you're going to need to be mentored. You're going to need help, because this is the beginning of your Christian walk. And it's a step-by-step walk. And in the initial stages, I can assure you, you're going to need help. And not just left out there to join the dots for yourself. So Gloria's going to close this Bible study with prayer.
Mm-hmm. Thank you all those people who have been watching on at this time, and also to those who will watch sometime in the future. And hello to Pauline. I saw that you are there as well. Pauline's in Wales. So we thank you, Father God, for this precious time, for all these wonderful people, your children that have come from all different parts of the globe. We really appreciate the ministers giving up their time, but we more so love you and appreciate what you are doing through this ministry and the people that it's reaching. Father God, we just pray that it goes far and wide and reaches the people who need to really hear this message today. So we thank you, Jesus, and we close this Bible study in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. So just remember where you saw us tonight, because we'll be back in exactly 1 week from right now. Mm-hmm. And we'll see you again. If you're watching on YouTube, then subscribe to our channel. If you're watching on Facebook, then follow our page. God bless.
Thank you.
Bye, ministers. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.